Okay, I think we'll get started. This is good morning, everyone. This is Rebecca Brewster. I'm president of the American Transportation Research Institute, and we're here today this morning to talk about a study that we just released in collaboration with the Mayo Clinic. I'm joined today by Dr. Clay Cole from the Mayo Clinic, who was the principal investigator on the Mayo side for this research initiative. The research was designed to look at the impacts of the National Registry of Certified Medical Examiners. And Dr. Cole, I'm going to let you talk a little bit about that because it's actually generated out of Mayo Clinic.
Absolutely. Thank you, Rebecca. So to that end, some may wonder, well, why is Mayo Clinic even interested in this? And as a background, our Division of Preventive Occupational and Aerospace Medicine, of which I chair on our Rochester, Minnesota campus, has for many years been involved in what we call transportation medicine. So this is forensic certification examinations across a variety of different modes of operators of different transportation modes, I should say. So, for example, not only commercial truck and bus drivers, but also in the aviation realm for pilots, railroad engineers, maritime operators, et cetera. We were focused on transportation medicine as it pertains to commercial truck and bus drivers because there have been, through the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, a number of sort of transformational changes that began in approximately 2012 when there was a Federal Register announcement, a final rule published, that the entire process for how medical certification examinations for drivers would be performed. And to that end, the medical examiners, which would include nurse practitioners, physician assistants, chiropractors, MDs, or DOs, would have to take an approved educational course and pass a secure exam before they were enrolled on what was called the National Registry of Certified Medical Examiners. The idea was to sort of reel in the wild, wild west history of it, where just anyone could be doing these exams with essentially little or no training, and with a large diversity in how the examinations were actually administered at a grassroots level in the office with the patient. Mayo Clinic, and in particular our division, was involved very heavily in the training of providers across the country and actually trained approximately 10% of the 40,000 estimated examiners that are listed on the National Registry right now. We knew that since the longest medical certificate that could be issued was 2 years, that subsequent to the release of that rule, which was in May of 2014, that by May of 2016, that all truck drivers would have been affected or encompassed within the new rule and would have seen an examiner that was in the National Registry of Certified Medical Examiners. And so we reached out to, you know, obviously a reputable association of the industry, ACTRI, and because of their knowledge of the industry. And our goal was to touch base with not only drivers, but also their employers, i.e. the motor carriers, and medical examiners that were involved in this process. And the idea was to survey each of these groups using surveys that were specifically looking from each of their perspectives. So we were able to obtain some very interesting data for that, which we'd like to discuss with you today. Rebecca?
Great, thanks. And so as Dr. Cole said, we developed three separate surveys, and ACTRI launched the motor carrier and commercial driver surveys and had real good success. We had over 900 commercial drivers respond, as well as over 300 motor carriers. The commercial driver survey by design was longer because they are more intimately involved in that process, and the questions cover the range from what has been their experience since the registry has been in place, what are some of the health issues that they may have been referred for additional testing for, as well as their perceptions on the quality of the exams pre and post registry. It's part of the good news of this is that we had a large percentage of the drivers in this particular sample who have had their CDL for more than 10 years. 81% of the sample has had their CDL for more than 10 years. And so we know that this group, this cohort, has a lot of experience with the medical examination process. So we're very pleased with that. Some notable findings from the driver survey, the driver side of the analysis, a large percentage of the drivers, 63%, reported that they have experienced increased exam costs following the implementation of the registry, but are not yet experiencing commensurate improvements in exam quality. So a subjective analysis, of course, but they do not feel that they have seen increases in the exam quality as a result of the implementation of the registry process. And one particular finding that was surprising and concerning is that the amount of time that drivers reported spending with their medical examiner. And we had in this sample, 26% of the drivers reported spending 20 minutes or less with their medical examiner. And of that, just was 6.5% of those drivers spending 10 minutes or less. And Dr. Cole, that's clearly not enough time to do what it's required to do with medical examiners.
Oh, absolutely. And I guess to that end, the other interesting thing that we did was, you know, identify in the survey to the drivers, we asked which type of provider actually did their examination. And then later in the survey asked sort of non-committal things such as, well, did the examiner look at your eyes with a light? Did they, part of the rule for FMCSA is that they're supposed to do a hernia check. Did they do a hernia check? We asked, did they put a stethoscope on your chest? And it was fairly eye-opening to see that certain types of providers had extremely, per the driver's input, there were, for example, one of the things that we saw was if they selected that they saw a chiropractor, only 15% of the time, or I guess, no, I'm sorry, 18% of the time, a stethoscope was actually laid on the chest of the driver, according to what the drivers responded in the survey. And we felt that that was pretty eye-opening, because really what the FMCSA is asking when an examiner is enrolled in the registry is that by law there are certain parts of the examination which include not just a musculoskeletal exam, but the entire heart and lung exam, neurological exam, et cetera.
We also, one of the sort of resounding findings, both from the driver's side and the carrier side, is the fact, and we have heard this anecdotally before even launching this research activity with the Mayo Clinic, that many drivers are not receiving certificates for 2 years, that the medical examiners are exercising caution and issuing certificates for a shorter time period, subject to additional testing or treatment of certain conditions. Clay, any other comments on that as well?
Yes. So what we found is a great polarity in how the medical expert panels, i.e. the groups that were charged by the FMCSA to look at specific conditions such as, for example, obstructive sleep apnea, hypertension, neurologic disease, and others, how that was viewed by an examiner. And so for approximately 80% of those that did not get a full 2-year medical certification, 80% of them, it was due to hypertension, which was based on FMCSA guidelines that said if you have hypertension, you are to, it was recommended that a 2-year medical not be issued. But we've seen a great diversity in how the guidelines have been read by various examiners. And part of that is that by the nature of the exam, the FMCSA has not provided a detailed guidebook, unlike other agencies such as the Federal Aviation Administration, that actually has a guidebook for designated medical examiners. So there's a large amount of gray, and so many providers have You know, it's at their discretion, and so because of the potential liability risks, many will err on the side of conservatism and say, look, you know, I'm not seeing you as a regular patient, therefore I need to be able to document that if you say you have insulin-dependent diabetes, that you've been medically stable. If you have obstructive sleep apnea, that you're not falling asleep at the wheel and that you're getting appropriate treatment. If you have coronary artery disease, that you actually have had some sort of functional testing to show that you're at low risk for having an event at the wheel or, you know, just in general. And so, and this is particularly true for complex cases where there is really no, you know, for example, 1-800 number that you can call. And if you're a nurse practitioner in the middle of Buffalo Hump, Wyoming, there is no one there to help you in terms of trying to decide should I issue or not, and if so, how long. So that has become a problem, and part of that is a resourcing problem at the FMCSA. They don't have a call center where they can take calls from examiners.
And then the last finding that I think is really of note, in particular to the trucking industry, is we talk oftentimes a lot in the industry about the driver shortage, but we may, in fact, be on the brink of another shortage that we haven't really contemplated up to this point, and that's the finding actually from the medical examiner survey where we had 15.3% of the medical examiners reported they've either quit performing DOT physicals or plan to quit performing DOT physicals in the future because of the process. And particularly if you live in a rural part of the state where there are fewer providers now, if those providers make the decision to no longer provide that service, it's going to make it even more challenging for drivers in that area to access a medical exam and get their DOT physical completed. Clay, any other comments on that?
Yeah, so I would say that it speaks to potential manpower shortages in the future. Now, the FAA has dealt with this in terms of pilots. They've seen the examiner roles go down, but it's even more critical in terms of for the FMCSA because they have a 10 times larger number of exams that are done. Estimated between 3 and 4 million medical examinations are done in the United States each year. If you drop 15% of your population that's doing them, I mean, if you do the math, it would mean that each examiner would have to do more than 100 exams a year, which we know for a fact is not necessarily happening. Many examiners, when we have met with them at, for instance, our prior educational courses that we have hosted, have said that, you know, it's become a more of a bureaucratic headache than they feel it's worth, and there are certain communities where it's almost a commodity where if you don't do a detailed examination, the price it continues to be a race to the bottom for the amount of that the charge is going to be for it, and it's almost impossible to do a thorough exam with, you know, some of the with the fees that are being charged, and so we view this as a potential issue in the future, and potentially feeds sort of the examiner bill type concept where you have an examiner that is seeing literally thousands of drivers per year, and I think many of you on the call may be familiar with some of the anecdotal stories of an exam. For example, there was an examiner in the Atlanta area that saw over 6,000 drivers, and it was found to be fraudulent exams, and is under federal indictment right now. And that's what we don't want to see happen in the industry.